So let's pray. Let's stand. And we'll pray and be ready to worship today. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning as you are in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to move among us in any way you see fit. We welcome the opportunity to praise you in song. We welcome and look forward to the opportunity to hearing your word this morning as it's spoken in truth and rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Oh, remain standing. All right.
Peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained with sin, sinking. we can have faith in you and know that our desires, our requests, our concerns, the things that burden our hearts, Father, we can put them at your feet and know that you are listening and working, because you are the only God. And this morning we praise you and thank you. Let this time be a sweet fragrance before you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. As we continue our journey through prayer, listen to John 14:14. You can ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. We're going to dwell on that this morning, but he's talking to you. You can ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. How great is that God? He's worthy of our praise.
147. Revelations 4:11 says, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power."
our men come forward for our time of offering, pray with me. Father, we thank you for blessings that you give us. We thank you for providing for us, for watching over us. And Father, we thank you that you meet our every need. And as we worship you in this time of giving back to you, may you bless the gift and the giver, and use what we give to your good and your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, I pray that a breakthrough.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are a God that desires us to approach you and be in communication with you. You desire to know our hearts by us telling you, even though you know them already. Father, my prayer is for this room, for each of us, to encounter your Holy Spirit. We give you free rein. I pray that you cleanse our hearts and our minds, remove the distractions, and allow us to be focused on you, that we might be drawn deeper into you. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear and eyes to see things we've never seen before. Lord, we love you and we give you this moment. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 14, you don't have to turn there, says, like I said a few minutes ago, Jesus said to you and I, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Ask anything. Not some things, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So I have a question for you. Is there anybody in this room at this moment with unanswered prayer? Anybody? Anybody? I bet it's all of us. I bet if you're honest, you have things that you are praying about or maybe have been praying about and you haven't seen an answer yet. Now, I want to move beyond what I call the Santa Claus prayers. And we all have Santa Claus prayers. I don't care who you are. The Santa Claus prayers are the give me prayers. Give me this, give me that. Oh, and if you do, I'll do this for you. I want to move beyond that. I want to talk about the prayers where you're praying for somebody's salvation. You're praying for them to life to be changed. You're praying for a deeper relationship, things to be cleared up, rifts to be gone, and you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying and you thank God, are you listening? It's like a story I heard about a Welsh woman who went to great expense to have electricity run through the village and out to her house. It took a lot of time. It was incredibly expensive. And the power company did it. It was hooked up. And a couple of months later, the power company noticed that she wasn't using very much electricity at all. It was almost none. And they sent somebody out there and they said, is everything okay? I mean, you've spent a lot of money to have this done. And are you satisfied? She goes, yeah, I'm very, very happy. She said, every night we turn the electricity on to see how to light the oil lamps, and then we turn it back off. She didn't understand the potential that the electricity had to change her life. She didn't understand how it worked. Like many of us, we'll offer up a prayer every now and then, and if we don't see God move, we think He's not listening. But my challenge for us this morning is I don't think we always understand the reason for prayer or how prayer works. And especially when it comes to persistent prayers. Prayers that we keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying and we think God's not listening and we don't understand why. I want us to focus in on persistent prayer this morning. I want to go back to a story that we looked at last week. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah is being led by God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, God tells Elijah, at this point, it has not rained in 3.5 years, and God tells him, it's about to rain. Okay? So go do these things. It's about to rain. And down at verse 41, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, the king at the time, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Anybody try that this week? No, yeah, you're all back here. Not, I didn't have to visit anybody in the emergency room, so you probably didn't. Verse 43, go look towards the sea, he told his servants, his servant, and he went and looked. There's nothing, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant came and reported a small cloud the size of a man's fist rising in the sea. Okay, let's wrap our head around this. God says this is going to happen. And he tells Elijah, this is what I want you to do. And then Elijah starts praying. And he has to pray over and over and over and over and over before it happens. Why? Why? Why the persistent prayer? What does it serve in our life? And what does it mean? Because persistent prayer means that you and I go to the throne of the heavenly God with confidence, seeking the request of our heart and knowing that He hears us, and going over and over and over, if that's what it takes. Why? I think there's two reasons I want us to explore this morning, the why. First of all, which I think is most important, is that it keeps us dependent on God. Okay? When we're praying, we're focused on God. We're not focused on anything else. And the persistent prayer of going over and over, God doesn't do that for His sake. He does it for our sake. He wants us dependent on Him. Listen to Psalms 81, verse 10. For it was I, the Lord God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. God is saying to you and I, He's in control. Look to me, and I'll answer your prayers. The challenge for us, though, is sometimes our prayers are, God, give me this. Right? God, I want that. God, save this person. We think God is some kind of genie that's supposed to just snap his fingers and everything's supposed to be the way it is. And think with me in terms of this, because we're not focused on the Santa Claus, the gimme prayers. We're focused on the real deep prayers, okay? The things where you want to see somebody's life changed. Why would God not want your kid saved? Why would God not want this rift in our relationship to be healed so we could have fellowship with each other? And so we think, I can rub this genie lamp and God's going to fix it. God's not a genie. And if He just snapped His fingers, He would, and everybody would be saved. Right? That's His desire. everybody saved. But if he does that, you're not there because you want to be there. You're there because he made you be there. And he has restricted himself from that. Let that sink in around your thinking, okay? God wants all of us to be in fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. But in order to do that at times, we have to want that. So, listen to Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So these prayers that you and I have been praying, maybe it's for somebody's salvation, maybe it's for a change in a person so you can have a closer relationship. We just want Jeannie to fix them because they're broke, right? Fix them because they're broke. I'm not broke, they're broke. And if they were fixed, then everything would be good. Many times our prayers, and the reason we go over and over and over, and if you've had this like I have, I've gone over and over and over to God with something, and the prayer at the end is different than the prayer at the beginning of the whatever it was, because I get changed. I've been praying for some things for decades, and I haven't seen answers to them yet. Does it mean I stop praying? No. I keep praying and keep believing. George Mueller was an incredible man of God who lived in the late 1800s. He supported an incredible amount of orphanages through his life. The story is told that he never once asked for money to support these orphanages. Never once asked anybody other than God for money. It's estimated that this man, who had no great means or wealth, at the end of his life, if you adjust it for inflation, gave over $12 million to orphanages. He never asked for a dime other than asking God. He was on a ship headed to Quebec, and he told the captain, "I need to get there by Saturday morning." And the captain looked at him and he said, "That's impossible. Do you see how thick that fog is?" And George says, "No, I'm not looking at the fog. I'm looking at the God who created it." And he said, "Let's go down below deck and pray." And so the captain and George went down, and he knelt, and the story's told he prayed the most simple prayer you could imagine. And he finished. And the captain started to pray, and George put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, "Don't." He said, "Don't, because you don't believe he's going to answer." And then George looked at him, and he said, "Sir, I have been following Christ for 57 years. I have never once not had an audience with the King when I requested one. If you get up and open that door and go back up to the deck, you'll see the fog's gone." It was. You and I need a dependence on God and a knowledge that he's going to answer it. He's going to answer it. The second thing that I want us to focus on is we need a dependence on God. That's why he keeps us praying over and over and over. But the second thing is, He wants to draw us close to Him. Because the more we pray, the less focused we are on us, the more we focus on Him. And when we draw closer to Him, we come to a better understanding of this. And this is the biggest challenge for us in praying persistent prayers over and over and over. When we don't feel like God's moving or working, we cannot see what God's doing in people's lives. We can't see what He's doing in the background. Turn with me over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. Imagine this scene, if you will. We're still focused with Elijah. And God has given him a directive and a battle to fight. And look at verse 15. We're going to pick this up right in the middle of the story. We're just going to drop in for a minute. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elijah. "We're surrounded. What are we going to do? We're outnumbered. What are we going to do?" Verse 16. "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elijah filled with horses and chariots. There are things going on because of your prayers, the ones that you think are just hitting the ceiling. There are things going on because God promised, when you pray, I'm listening. And like George Mueller said, if you don't believe it, don't pray. And God wants us close to Him. He wants us coming back to Him because it keeps us near Him. But know that when you pray, day after day, year after year, things are happening. God is not a genie who's just going to snap his fingers because you and I prayed and that person's going to get saved. And if he could, you would not want it, because they wouldn't be there because they wanted to be there. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. All right. Get the prayer in your head right now that you've been praying. Okay? I want you to, whoever it's for, whatever it's for, however how long you've been praying, I want you to get it in your head. And I want you to get the outcome in your head. Okay? And let's for a moment imagine that this painting represents the outcome. Okay? The beautiful outcome of whatever it is you've been praying for. You got it? So this is what we want. This is where we start. Okay? This is the answer to your prayer. This is when you started praying. Okay? All right. Here we go. This could go terribly wrong. Because I'm not a painter, okay? But here's what I want you to think about. What if every prayer you prayed is a brushstroke of God? Okay? How many brush strokes does it take to get to this? Okay? When you see somebody's life given over to Christ, it takes a lot of brush strokes. So what if you and I, every time we prayed, we created another brushstroke of God? Okay? Every prayer, every time we lifted that person up, we begged God to change their life. And we keep praying and praying, and sometimes you give up because you think nothing's going to change. And then you love that person. You want that rift. You want them to change their life. You want them to see what God is doing. And so you start praying again. And you pray. Because what else can you do? Now, sometimes we try to fix things on our own. And you just, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind and tell them what they should be doing. Has that ever worked for anybody in this room? Ever? No. So, we go back to praying. And what if our brush strokes were prayers? And every time we prayed, it was another brushstroke of God. Okay? Now remember, what we want is the quick genie prayer. God, just fix them. Okay? But here's the thing. Which one do you want to live with? Okay? Which one do you want to live with? Sometimes it takes a lot of brushstrokes to have somebody's life changed. It may take decades of praying. But you cannot get from this to this without a lot of brushstrokes. Anybody want to stop here? That's not what you're praying for. That's not what you're praying for. This is what you get sometimes in an instant when you rub genie and say, fix this person, and you go tell them how they need to live their life and what they need to do and how wrong they were that created the rift between us, and it's all their fault. This is what you get. In order to get here, sometimes it takes decades of praying. But God said, you can ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And He's painting a masterpiece that takes a lot of brushstrokes. You can't rush this. Okay? You can't. We want it to be finished for our sake. What we need to do is keep praying and keep praying and know that every prayer is another brushstroke that God is making in the beautiful canvas of somebody's life or maybe even in your life. Just keep praying. God's painting a masterpiece. I'm going to give you a little secret. This side of heaven, you might not get to see the finished artwork. But no prayer goes in vain. So you keep praying. God's going to keep painting. Pray with me. Father, I thank You that we can come before your throne knowing that you desire to hear from us, knowing that our prayers are not in vain. Many times we'll have to keep praying so that we are drawn close to you and our eyes will be focused on you and not us and not our desires, even how noble they may be. We pray for the finished artwork of the unanswered prayers. And I pray that you encourage us just to keep praying. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.